You know, my name is Lyle Kelsall. For y'all people who don't know me, I'm a mentor here. I'm a minister over at Wings Deliverance, Tabernacle of Holiness, armor bearer to Pastor Robert Clark, team lead for the 10-Point Coalition. A lot of things in my life today that I am proud that God allowed me to be some of these things. But it wasn't always like that in my life. Pam said it the best when she was talking just a minute ago. It's how you look at things. She said she was happy to go back into prison. Something I never thought I would say. But she's happy to go. I've gone into prison with her in the last couple of years back. We go into prison and different things. I was happy to go back and looking forward to going back in. And I'm going to start this in kind of a way. It might seem like it's going a direction, but it's going to come back full circle. Think about it. Over the years that you moved from one house to another, or you had to move. And when you're, sometimes the world teaches us that more is best. More is best. So if I'm wise, I'm going to take everything I have. So you take old junk. You take junk that was good when you bought it, but it's no longer good anymore. But because you paid for it, you take it with you to this new house. Go in the cabinet, you got a bottle of honey, and it's stuck to the cabinet because it's been there forever. You know you're not going to use it. You know it's not good for nothing but the trash. But you take these things, and you begin to fill up with these things. God showed me this in me. When God gets ready to take you to a new place, some things you have, you just can't take with you. That same old thing that you depended on all these years, that very thing that you thought is what got you by all these years, God can't use it in your new life. And it's just going to be in the way. Is just going to be in the way. I've been to prison a few times, and this was a dream of mine. You know, it was always a fantasy to me that when I got out of prison, that just that right girl would be waiting for me. Have on a nice high heels and a red dress. Got an ounce of cocaine in her hand to put me on. You know what I mean? See, because then I'm just saying, in the life I came from, those were gifts. In the life I came from, those were gifts to me. This woman who's not my wife, don't even know if she's even married or whatever, but we're going to do whatever we do. Because in my mind, that was a gift. But when I gave my life to God, I had to come to the understanding that I can't bring that garbage with me. There's no place in my life today for an ounce of cocaine. There's no place in my life today, and this may sound strange, but we're all adults. There's no place in my life today for some woman that's not my wife laying in my bed. There's no place for that. And see, I'm not saying that you are where I am, because God's been dealing with me for a long time. A long time. When the young rich ruler came to Jesus and said, I've done all these things. I've kept your laws. I've kept your commandments. I did that. What else must I do? Jesus said, go sell all you got. Give it to the poor and come on back. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He didn't have the wherewithal to see what Pam sees today. God has worked on Pam a long time. I know Pam's story. I know the lady was throwing dishes off the ceiling in the penitentiary on the way to the hole. But now she goes back into that same prison because she sees it for what it really is. We see it for what it really is. When God opens your eyes, you begin to understand life. I was one of those people, see me with my hand all wrapped up. I was one of those people God called to be a leader. you know, well versed in the Bible, college degree, and those things, but those weren't what he needed out of me. Those weren't the things, Pastor, he needed out of me to be the leader. God knew my heart. See, he knows your heart. See, you can fool some people like you hard. You can fool some people like you tough, but God knows your heart. When you sitting there watching that movie and everybody looking at tear coming down your eye because you feel sorry for that family. Because he knows who you really are inside. But we can't show nobody that side of things. Even being a leader in the things that God has put me in, I still somewhere in my mind had a need to rule with my iron fist. I always thought these were what kept me. I always thought that this is what kept me because people were afraid. People would back up, you know, and I used to belong to little gangs and stuff. I had people behind me and all that. And I thought this is what kept me. And while walking with God, I'm talking about 9 years saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Still having thoughts of, man, if he do that, if she say that, if he say this, trying to justify it. I'd get in the Word and justify what I'm thinking. Well, the Bible says a time for season for everything under the sun. I'm justified with that. If somebody hurt my this person or that person in my life, I'm coming. These are the thoughts. I'm talking about ordained minister. But God told in Matthew, he talked about take no thought for tomorrow. That does not, and he's talking about the clothing and the food and what you should wear, but he also means take no thought for tomorrow because, Pastor, I shouldn't make a preconceived plan for what I'm going to do in case that happens. Because once I do that, I've given God no room to speak to my life. I've given the Holy Spirit no place to speak in my life. You know, and God showed me all that. He knew my heart. He knew I'm soft as a marshmallow in my heart. But I wanted to be hard and play hard. Always trying to rule with my fists and trying to talk. So God allowed this to happen to me. You know, whap. When it happened, it looks a lot worse. If you look at it, it's like, whoa. But even when I looked at it and seen the blood shooting out from under my glove and the fingers were turned all kind of ways, pointing this way or that way, and I couldn't bend them, I knew it was jacked up. But at that moment, it didn't hurt. God allowed the adrenaline to flow, and he allowed everything to go numb. He didn't hurt. And I got in that EMS, and they gave me that fentanyl and put in me, and that feeling came over me. I said, man, don't give me no more of that. So whatever that was, I don't want no more of that. You know what I mean? I get to the hospital, and they look at it, and it was jacked up. They said, we're going to keep you overnight, so we've got to take you to surgery in the morning. So and I'm there laying there thinking, now, they got it wrapped up. I can peek in there and see it. You know what I mean? My fingers look like two sausages talking to each other. You know? But God began to deal with me. He said, you never have ran nothing with your fists. He said, you got to put your fist down. Because when I put the ball of my hand up, I couldn't move my fingers. I was doing like this. I could see it, and I'm trying to do this, but that's all it would do. My thumb would move, but the rest of them wouldn't move at all. I couldn't move my fingers. I don't look at this as a bad thing. Because God takes you from glory to glory. There's places God's taken me that I can't take this. There's places God's taken you that you can't take that deceitfulness that you're still holding on to. That little bit of a lie, because it ain't much. But I'm going to lie by omission. I'm going to do this and not tell them I did this so they'll think this is going on. Well, God is taking you. You can't take that with you. All them old numbers that you saved that you're going to call just because I want to see them. They was my friends. Can't take them numbers with you. I went to a funeral. Back, I helped officiate a funeral a few weeks ago. Lady friend of ours passed. Her sister works at my sister down at Kara's house, and she called me and said, I want you to come be in the funeral. I said, okay, I'll be there. And I got to the funeral. Every player, pimp, hustler, granny dodger, scallywag, scallywag, whatever, every one of them was there. from the 70s. I began to look. I seen everybody. Ace, Deuce, Flair, all the old nicknames. Boo Shoes, all of them. I began to see them all. Some of them still had that walk. Some of them still had that walk on them, you know. He's 90 years old. You still catting. But what was amazing to me, all the ones that God had brought out, I look at them and think, how did you get out? They look at me and say, how did you get out? Because God can do a transformation in your life, and those things you used to carry with you, you just can't take no more. It really made me see and feel the power of God. And I went up in that pulpit and got to see all those people who I looked up to. Because they were players. I'm talking about the true players. I'm not going to call the name, but the true players. I came from the hood. I'm talking about the true old school players. They were all there, men and women. And I was there with my big sister. Me and my big sister saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. That meant a whole lot to me. And I began to speak. And I told the crowd, I said, just listen. The book of Romans in the first chapter speaks about things seen give evidence of things unseen, so that the end time we're going to all be without an excuse. We can play like we didn't know. That old lie by omission. We can play like we don't see it. We got to start calling things what they are. This is a blessing to me, because now I can't leave with my fist. I got to leave with my heart. I got to let the Holy Ghost lead me. I have to let the Holy Ghost lead me and do things. And you know something? It feels good to me. I live alone. I live by myself. I pay my own bills for the most part. I take God as sufficient in my life. But as soon as my hand went down and I couldn't go to work, people came for me. There were people who came for me. And I knew people I could call that I could say are friends. That are friends. I said, well, brother, if you need groceries or anything, we got you. Don't worry about that kind of stuff. See, and that feels good to not have to lay up and worry, because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't have to lay up there and wonder what I'm going to eat, or if somebody's going to come cook for me, or if I can get dressed. See, I haven't had hair in years. But I have not able to shave my head, because I don't trust nobody on the back of my head yet. But as soon as I do, I'm going to get that shaved off. But God has changed my life. I look at a room like this, and when I would come in a place like this, and my first thought would be to try to find out who I can use, who I could play on, or what girl is vulnerable. That was my life. I'm talking about reading the Bible. Being in the jailhouse, sitting there reading the Bible, all this kind of stuff. And when they come around with a little weed, I sneak outside with them. Soon they get ready to have the black gangster disciples getting ready to have some kind of meeting or something. I'm in the meeting with them. They're going to steal something out of the kitchen that can make my slam just a little bit better. I'm okay with that. Justify that in the name of it's us against them. It was never us against them. Community corrections is not against me. They're not against you. There are people within that system that are cynical people, and I'm not going to say there's not. But no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I gave my life to God. My life has been bought with a price. I don't walk in fear. Just a couple months ago now, I was going to go in prison with her, and she called me and tells me, well, you can't go in this time. I said, why I can't go? She said, you got an active warrant for your arrest. Huh? I ain't did no dope or nothing in 9 years. I ain't lied on nothing. I ain't stole nothing. I ain't got no active warrant. That's what I told her. I ain't got me. Got no warrant on my arrest. But I had to begin to think about some things. Lyle Kelsall is not a very common name. There's probably not two in the United States. So if Lyle Kelsall got active warrant, it's probably me. And I began to think about that. And she called and said we weren't place it was at. So I remembered 20-odd years ago. I was driving a work truck through that place, and I got pulled over, and I had my license was suspended. They stuck me in jail overnight. The owner of the company came down, paid my little fine, got me out. I never heard nothing else from it. Never heard nothing else from it. Now, when they call, and so first thing I do, so I work for the mayor. I talk to the mayor's office. I said, listen, this is what's going on. I got to be honest with you. You see, I told Marvin, and I told him, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm going to tell the people that what's going on with me. See, because there would have been a time, now when the mayor's office looked into it, they said, well, check it, what, we're going to try to see what we can do, but here, just don't go to Kentucky. They can't do nothing if you don't go to Kentucky. See, now, Pastor, that would have been good enough for me 15, 20 years ago. I ain't got a thing in the world to go to Kentucky for. That would have been good enough for me. I don't want to settle for nothing less than the best that God has for me. So I called them people down there in Kentucky, and I told them where I was at. I said, what do I need to do? And see, sometimes you don't take everybody's advice, because the first lady said, well, you come on down. She said, you come on down and you come on to the clerk's office, and then you go. We'll put you on the docket, and you go to court the next day. See, but I know how the court system works. I've been in the system. She can't tell me they will put me on the court system docket. I may have went down there and parked my car and been sitting in jail 3 weeks waiting to get on the docket. So I said, well, let's try a better way than that. Let's try something different. So I called an attorney. And when I called the attorney, I didn't have the money at the time. You know, didn't have the money readily available. But God sent two men, two of my brothers, that came up. Put down what I needed. But I don't walk in, I say that to say this, I don't walk in fear. It don't matter. If I would have had to go to Kentucky, I'd have took a bus down there so I wouldn't have to leave my car parked, and I would have walked into that jail and said, here I am. Because if God sends me back to jail, for whatever the reason, there's something he needs me to do. There's something he needs me to do or something he needs me to learn. And either way is just okay with me. Either I trust him or I don't. If I'm sitting in a halfway house, or I'm sitting in my home or sitting at work and I've got a scheme going on, a plot going on, that means I'm not trusting God. There's nothing wrong with being concerned, but there's something with walking in fear. We have to look at what it is. Either God called me or he didn't. Either the Lord is my shepherd or he's not. So I say the 23rd Psalm. When I was younger, I thought that song was just for death, because they always said it at funerals. You know, especially back in the 60s, 70s, I'm telling them my age. They always said it at funerals. But I say it all the time because it's full of promises. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He make me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. He restored my soul for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this is no mistake. This was no mistake. This was God taking me to another level. God taking me to another level. On the other side of this, man, I'm going to be stronger because I trust him. Because I had to put my hand down now. I got to let him do what he does in me. And I just want to encourage somebody tonight. You don't have to be stuck with that old yesterday scheme. You don't have to have that old plot. Now, I'm not saying out loud with me. I don't lie today about my stuff, my resources, whatever. See, there'd been a time where I wouldn't tell people how much money I had in the bank or what I was doing. I still don't tell everybody. But, you know, I mean, I got people that I respect who mentored me, and I don't have a problem telling them, because the only reason I would have a problem telling them because I'm lying about something. Because I'm, and please turn your phones off, please. Because if I, by me hiding that means I got something to hide. I am who God made me to be. I'm not puffed up. I'm not better than nobody. I've made better choices than some people, but I'm not better than anybody. And I just don't want to get there pretending. See, there's a story in the Bible that talks about a man. When God sent the servant out to the highways, he sent him out to invite all the people in, well, the wedding feast. He said, go get them and tell them it's ready. Remember that story, Jose? Told him, go get them. Donnie, he said, go get them. Marvin said, it's ready. Tell them to come on in. But some of them didn't want to go. They had other things to do, other agendas. See, I don't want to be on no other agenda other than God's agenda. And see, here's why I say when God takes things out of my life, I'm okay with it because I don't really know what I need for the next step. When he puts things in my life, I'm okay with it because I don't know what I need for the next step if I'm walking in God's agenda. But this old guy, so he told him to go back out and get some people. So he went out and he got some people and stuff. Then the man in the house come out and there's a guy sitting there. He made it in. He was sitting there. He was at the party. Then the Bible says he was there, Marvin. He was sitting there in the house. The man in the house looked at him and said, hey, this man doesn't have on wedding clothes. This man don't have on no wedding clothes. I just seen on the news where somebody was trying to sneak on a plane the other day. She in the wrong seat and everything. They caught her because she in the wrong seat. They went to the movie. She couldn't produce a ticket. I don't want it to be like that for me. I want my seat to be my seat in the end. I want God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want somebody to say over my body, man, that dude was a fool. But you know something? He got it right in the end. You know something? He helped me. If he didn't help nobody else, he helped me. I believe in him. And that's only because of what Jesus has done in my life. We got to call things what they are. That jail cell wasn't no bad thing for me. That jail cell kept me surrounded and away from the garbage until God could fortify my mind and my heart and put something in me. God knows your heart. He already knows what you're capable of. But you got to be honest. You got to be honest, no matter about how you look. It's not about what people think. There's people right now today still think I get high. 9 years clean. There's people still say, man, I know he's getting high. He's just fooling around. And that's okay. That's okay because Paul said, I become all things to all men, that by all means I may win some. He knew he wasn't going to win them all. He said, I may win some for the kingdom of God. And it's just okay. When they gave me, when I had my hand was hurting, I went home from the hospital. They gave me some, what's it called? Hydrocodone or whatever it was. And my hand went to throbbing. I looked at that old bottle because I'm not Superman. I just don't do dope. But I took one of them pills because God put that doctor there for a reason. So I took that pill. My hand quit throbbing. Later on, I woke up. It was throbbing again. I took another pill. Now, I don't take them pills anymore because God made me a tough old bird and he's taking that pain. I can deal with the pain. At my age and all I've been through, I'm going to have some pain every day of my life. That's just the way it is. Some woman said one day to me, she said, you act like you are in pain. I said, baby, I ain't acting. I ain't acting. But you learn to get up. You learn to get up and take that pain to work. The measure of a man is you do what you have to do. The measure of a woman is you do what you have to do. All I've been through, I just don't do no dope. Sneaking outside an alley is not going to save me. Think behind the barn, I can go out there. I got a little money in my pocket. I can go get a little dope now if I wanted to. Nobody's going to know. By next Monday, it'll be gone. You won't see it. I couldn't face you. That's just not my heart. And I don't want to do dope. I mean, I'm talking, and God, I wasn't going there, but God is talking to somebody tonight, right now. I don't want to do dope. I had to exhaust every excuse in the world to use. I had to exhaust, because there was a time I would say, you know what? If I got cancer or something, shoot, I'm going back to get high, to live it up. Enemy heard me, and I got cancer. I caught cancer. I had prostate cancer, but I didn't do no dope. Now that cancer's gone. 0% cancer in my body, but I didn't do no dope. That's where you got to get to. If the man downtown talks, I was at work and some problems, and in my mind, say that also I don't think of myself as no better or puff up myself no better than what I am because at work, I do a lot for those people at work. God has allowed me to open doors that probably 60 people have gotten on that company just through the programs that I go through. And I went through a problem at work. Guy come up to me one day and went to talking crazy. And I got a little brother. My little brother's about this tall, shoulder like that there. He's about 6'5", 275. And he works with me. We stand next to each other. And the guy come up and talking crazy to me. And I looked at the little fella. I said, what you talking about, man? He went to cuss at me and point his finger at me. I'm looking at him, man, what's wrong with you, man? Now, my brother, of course, he's not saved like that, you know. So now I know I got to get him because we were raised that way. We were raised that way. We were physical people. And what I'm trying to tell you is some of that garbage that you were taught by your mom and your dad, your uncle, your cousin, your big brother is garbage. You got to leave that stuff where you got it. You got to take it back. Because I knew I had no art with this brother. And I knew this guy was only this tall. And I knew I had no art with this guy, man. And I wasn't going to let my brother hurt him. And I wasn't going to let him hurt my brother or lose that. I wasn't going to let him. So I backed off and just, hey, come on, Lance, let's go. And we walked away. Now, because of the position I have out there, they called me in office the next day. And there was a big thing going on. And I kept wondering to myself, well, how is my integrity? Or how is my commitment in jeopardy in any way? See, because that's what the devil would say, man. They don't believe you. They can get rid of you. You watch. You know what I mean? That's what the enemy's saying. Hey, get away from me with that lie, man. Get away from me with that lie. And so they called me and they talked. They worked the things out. But here's what I'm saying. What if I had a took what my daddy taught me? Because I got my little brother here with me. My hand wasn't broke then. I'm in great shape. I'm lifting them pipes, man, like a natural man. I'm in great shape. I'd have hit him one time with uppercut. Poof, my brother hit him up top of the head. Boop, we'd have put him down. Been all over. That's what my daddy taught me. Listen to me. I love my daddy. My daddy, he passed on. That was my guy. But that's what he taught me. But that was wrong. That was wrong. I had to learn the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down the strongholds. See, that was a stronghold in my life. I thought I had to always fight or always do something, always get revenge, always had to retaliate. And it's not that way. The Lord said the battle's not mine, but it's his. I just want to encourage somebody tonight. Please, don't try to take all that garbage with you. You have moved. You don't live in that same place. You don't need that old honey dripping out the bottom of the bottle. You don't need that old ketchup that's got brown on the top now. You got to pull off the brown to get to it. Leave some of that stuff in the garbage where it belongs. That old lying game, you don't need that. That old group from yesterday, you don't need that. That gang affiliation, you don't need that. That dope sack, you don't need that. That dope in the bottle, they call liquor. You don't need that. People say, well, it's just alcohol. No, it's liquid dope. Call it what you want, it's liquid dope. You don't need that. Because it's going to take you places you don't want to go. And you can't use it where God is taking you. Now, I'm going to close with this. The word says, it's like, count the cost. It's likened unto a man who sets out to build a building. And he doesn't count the cost. And then he gets the foundation of the building up. And then he's unable to finish. The Bible says everybody laughs at that man. The Bible says any man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back isn't fit for the kingdom of God. See, he wasn't not going to read my name in the paper for jumping on that guy at work. Wasn't going to happen. You was not going to read my name in the paper for running from the police because I had a warrant. That was not going to happen. With the help of God, I'm going to do the next thing, the best right thing. And sometimes I get concerned, but I got brothers. And I'll call them. They said right there, I'll call them. And tell them what's on my mind. See, because I have become a snitch. I will tell on the devil. When the devil starts getting at me, I will tell on him. What he's doing, get him out of my life. Because we're only as sick as our secrets. We're only as sick as our secrets.